Welcome to GleeCast, the somewhat occasionally weekly home of Glee and casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
Merry 2013 new season stuff.
Merry Christmas.
Well, yeah, but Christmas was like...
No, I know.
I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, Christmas was 2 months ago. No, it was a month and 2 days ago. Same thing in my time.
Let's just pretend that it's a cozy winter morning and Santa just brought us the present of yet another episode of Glee, and we're all kind of disappointed.
It is a cozy winter morning. I haven't been outside yet, but it's been really cold, and I'm inside now, and I have a cat on my lap, so I feel cozy.
Okay, so let's just pretend it's December. It's December 27th instead of January 27th.
Oh, fancy you with that. Okay, we're GleeCast, and we're back after Glee took a, 12-week hiatus and then just made me forget stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was rough. I did rewatch this episode. We're doing the Christmas episode. I did rewatch it this morning. I had to because when I looked at my notes, I had looked at my notes yesterday, and I'm like, I don't know what any of this stuff means because I couldn't remember anything. So I had to rewatch it. So we'll delve in. We have to, behind the curtain alert, we need to crank out two episodes in 2 hours and 19 minutes.
All right, so let's do this.
Okay, so this episode was... Oh, this was the Glee Actually, because they apparently had something to do with Love Actually, although than referencing it in the first
scene. Absolutely nothing to do with Love Actually.
The weird thing was my DVR cut that part. Like, my DVR started halfway through Stu writing her letter or diary or whatever she was writing. I don't know. So I was just very confused. I'm like, oh, did I miss something Love Actually related for the entire show? And I don't think I did. I think it was just their way of throwing a reference to something in there.
They were like, we're telling five different stories. But that, like, that's, yeah, that's what Love Actually does. But the whole point of those movies, those holiday movies, is that you don't know how the characters are related.
Right.
Therefore,
there is some kind of connection.
By definition, a TV show where you're familiar with all the characters cannot do one of those stories.
Because they're all going to be related just based on the fact that they all go to the same high school. But anyway, written by Matthew Hodgman, directed by Adam Shankman, who, you know, we would know from Hairspray and many other things. Okay, the Glee cap for this is pretty brief. Merry Hanukkah Christmas Glee. To celebrate the holidays, Arnie gets half a story with an It's a Wonderful Life twist. Bart gets prostate cancer. Kirk gets confusion about his relationship with Blaine. Marley and her mom get money from Sue. Jake and Puck get to be brothers. And Brittany and Sam have hopefully protected sex in preparation for the end of the world that doesn't happen yet. Rory got a guest spot. Quinn continued to be hated by the writers a lot. And Aisha Taylor was on the show, and I completely forgot. And that's what you missed on Glee.
Glee.
I mean, those are the things that happened.
Yeah, they are. Exactly.
I guess we should start with the main, how do you say, thing they advertised about the show, which is the It's a Wonderful Life Artie dream.
Yeah.
So basically Artie, it's the episode starts. I thought great. I was on it. I'm like, yay, Artie's got a story. Artie, Kevin McHale gets to act. And it was Artie had been, you know, had fallen in his wheelchair and was just kind of really angry. And you kind of get the feeling that, as I would imagine would happen to someone like Artie, that every once in a while he gets the mood of, God damn it, I'm in this wheelchair and the world is really hard for me. And in this case, he, you know, Finn kind of tries to calm him down, which was actually a cute scene, I thought, and nice for both characters. And then Artie kind of has a dream where what happens if Artie was never in a wheelchair?
Yeah, basically everything sucks. There's no Glee Club, and he's a football player, and a jerk.
All the alpha dudes are homophobic and still bullying everybody.
Yeah, Kurt got left back because he's still, you know, he's having a rough time because he can't come to school because he's bullied.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rachel is a librarian.
Yeah, because you don't have to go to school for that or anything.
No, of course. They just hire you straight out of high school.
Yeah.
And I really wanted, that Matt Rutherford to come back in this part, because that would have been great. Matt Rutherford is still alive. Awesome. We did get Terry back, because Will, of course, never got to break out and be himself with the Glee Club, because, you know, so he's still married to Terry, who has been able to fake a pregnancy into delivery, apparently.
Which was pretty great.
Which was great. I like this. I could have had this be the whole episode, and that is my biggest low point of the episode, is that Glee, for some reason, refuses to fully embrace a fantasy episode.
True.
They've time and time again, they've had the opportunity to just go full out Rocky Horror, to go full out Christmas Special, to go, in this case, full out, it's, you know, what would the world be like without Artie? And instead, it's the first, up to the first commercial break or the second commercial break, and then it's just other things. And as a result, this just feels weird because this episode was so jammed with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this, to me, was the best part of it, but it also, you know, was over before, you know, you really wanted to get into it. And so it was just a weird choice. I just wish Glee would have the balls to do something different. And I feel like this is their way of pretending to do something different, but to really then just defer to, okay, now let's get to the rest of the characters and their very conventional stories.
Yeah. My other question is, why does Artie only get storylines on the holiday episodes? Like,
it's a really good question.
We had,
I think,
like,
they forget about him until they're like, oh, dude in a wheelchair. Well, that's very holidays.
They're like, who celebrates Christmas and who celebrates Hanukkah again? And then they're like, oh, yeah, that wheelchair kid, he does Christmas. Let's put him in this.
Yeah. It is weird. By the way, I said it on the Facebook page. Kevin McHale is in the Bratz movie.
Yes.
Amazing. It was just great. Okay. Anyway. All right. So moving on from that, because it ultimately had no bearing on anything else. Who do you want to go to next?
Let's Kurt? Just go. Yeah. Just go in order.
Okay.
This whole Kurt and Bert thing. Like, we had all these lovely moments of them, like, celebrating Christmas together. Bert surprises him. It's great. And then he's like, oh, like,
by the way, I have fucking prostate cancer.
Like, why did we do this? I have prostate cancer, but don't worry, I'm going to be fine. Like, right. Why?
So why? Exactly.
Why did we? I don't even understand. Like, it's not, like, a thing.
Right. Like if, they unless haven't... they're trying to plant the seeds of it being a thing. If, like, by the end of the season, you know, Bert's in the hospital, that's one thing. But if it's just like, yeah, by the way, I had it, but they were able to stop it before anything happened. Why do we need to know that?
By the way, the test results are back. I definitely have breast cancer. And if nobody's ever seen The Room, they should go watch
it
right now.
Right. It will make sense too.
But yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know.
Maybe there's a plan, and I laugh as soon as I say that because the idea of plan and Glee does not go together. But yeah, I don't know, because so that it's a Christmas episode and somebody needs cancer.
I guess.
You also now have Blaine and Kurt and this kind of weirdness there.
Yeah, and this was kind of like, I guess, closure in a way. Like,
They never came out and said it, but it did feel like it. And based on the next episode, which of course we've already seen, even though it's December 27th, mm-hmm. You kind of know, like, okay, no, they're over as a romantic couple. And I was mixed on it, but then I did really like kind of when Blaine said, like, you know, no matter whether or not we're still, like, you know, romantically involved, like, we're always going to be there for each other. And I actually like that because I like that, which Glee has done well, I think, because they've even done it with Rachel and Finn, of that idea of, like, you know, sometimes you can stay friends with your first love or something, that there's always this, you know, there's a connection there. And I don't know, I kind of like that in this case.
Yeah, I was okay with it. I'm not.
Yeah. So that was that. Should we move on to Jake and Puck?
Yeah.
Okay, so whirlwind trip to LA.
That apparently it only takes a day to drive to LA on a motorcycle.
Well, the best thing about it too was that, like, the way they timed all of these segments is, like, unlike, let's say, Love Actually, where, like, one scene is happening and then it's the same time period but in another part of England. In this case, it was like Kurt and Blaine being like, oh, it's Christmas Eve, oh, it's midnight on Christmas, that means it's Christmas Day. And then cut to Jake and Puck being like, so if we drive back to LA now, we can get back in time for Christmas, because it only takes a day and a half to drive there.
Yep.
So, like, why did they go backwards in time? Were they really that lazy that they couldn't intersperse these scenes in a way where all of them were happening at the same time? Is it that hard to do, Glee writing staff? I don't think it is. Other shows can do it.
It'd be the editing staff, not the writing staff.
True. Yeah, so that was just a weird choice. So they're kind of friends. They have on one hand, kind of cute scene with their moms at Breadsticks. On the other hand, it's like, you brought Aisha Taylor in for that. Like, that's all she got to do.
I don't know if she's working that much anymore. So
she's got Archer. Archer's back.
Oh, she might've come a little cheap though. Maybe she's a fan of the show.
Cause it did. It just felt like a special guest star, Aisha Taylor. There she is. Like, I'd forgotten that was her. Cause it just didn't, not that it didn't look like her, but I'm used to her, like, being interesting in things, and instead she got this one kind of throwaway scene. But so Puck is now staying in Lima. Okay, sure.
That's fine.
Because now they don't have to awkwardly cut to L.A.
Yeah.
You can tell it's really hurting them. Okay, elsewhere, Brittany and Sam both believe in the end of the world.
Now, this story was completely forgettable. Like, I actually forgot this happened I rewatched it. And I was like, oh, yeah, this happened.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was cute and it had some funny moments. So it didn't bother me. It brought in Beast, which anytime Beast is on the screen, there were some cute things. Like, I like when Beast is then explaining why she married them. She's like, well, I thought these two special kids, I like that recognition that they are touched.
Yes.
And I mean, it gave way to some funny lines, most of which are in my high notes, where Brittany was just kind of saying a lot of things that you would say to somebody at the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, kind of silly, lightweight.
Yeah. And no impact.
No. Yeah. Last storyline.
I was going to say it didn't like further their relationship or anything. So
not really. I mean, they're married now. They're star married, but yeah. Marley and Mom.
Didn't we do the story with the Grinch thing? Like, did this happen?
It did, but not with Marley and her fat mom.
Yeah.
And there was no sad piano music. Every time Marley's mom would talk to Marley, telling us that this is really sad, that this family is really sad because they don't have money, but they're really good people. I'm sorry, I've seen nothing. I still hate Marley. I still just blah. But I have seen nothing in Marley to make me really care about her. I don't know what, because she's poor, I'm supposed to like her. She's not funny. She's not that talented compared to anybody else in Glee Club. She's sweet. What have I seen her do that's sweet? I've seen her do nothing. She hasn't, you know, helped a puppy. I don't know. Like, it really, the more I think I sit back from it, especially having rewatched this episode a month after I watched it the first time, really, I really do feel like they have asked an awful lot of us regarding the new cast. And in some cases, it's fine. I am starting to like Not Puck. I am starting to, I really like Glee Project Kid, Cool Rider. But with Marley, I do really feel like they're trying to cram the pretty sad brunette at me, and I'm not buying it because there's nothing in that character that I should feel for.
I agree.
Okay, good.
You said it all. I agree.
Excellent. Yeah. Let's move on to the songs.
So during, I guess because Will was still the Spanish teacher, they decided to do Feliz Navidad. I don't know. I was confused. Like, I'm calling him Kevin McHale. Why did Artie choose to sing a Spanish Christmas song? Maybe they're just out of Christmas songs. I don't know.
I mean, they went through a lot of them this episode. I have no idea why they would have done one of the, I don't want to say one of the worst Christmas songs, but like kind of one of the worst Christmas songs.
They might as well have done Dominic the Donkey.
Or they might as well have done The Christmas Shoes, which would have been better.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
But it was fun. He had fun. I like any time I could watch him dance. So.
Exactly. And I mean, he was having a great time. Some of the reaction shots were really funny. So this was fine, even though it was just a really weird choice.
Yeah. Then this was at this, I have to refresh my memory. This was at the skating rink,
this
right?
This was at Bryan Park skating rink. Yeah.
Yeah. Blaine sings I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas too. And then with Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It was sweet. It was, you know, it was their classic Christmas thing, which I feel like we're going to get every year now.
Yeah. Even if they're not together, I still want one of those.
Yeah.
The weird thing for me was that Blaine's voice sounded really strange. I think it was just cause he was really trying to channel Bing Crosby. So go really deep. And it sounded weird at first, but then I bought into it.
Okay. I actually liked the next one.
Oh, me too. It was really cute.
It was Jake and Puck doing O Hanukkah on a back lot in LA.
Which was really weird and funny.
And appropriate, because I think Puck had the line, right, that, like, we run this town.
Yeah, because he keeps talking about, like, oh, if you're Jewish in L.A., you'll get far.
Even though, you know what, this just occurred to me, you don't get, Jake would not be Jewish.
Jake's not, no, I don't think so.
He's not Jewish. But hey,
No, because they keep saying he's half black, half Jewish.
They keep making fun of him. And you're Jewish by your mother.
Well, technically, yes. But
Taylor was not Jewish.
Well, that we know of. We don't know that.
He's not
we'll
Jewish.
Face this, Erica.
You don't get Jewish from
your
dad.
No, you're right. You are technically, but at the same time, technically in terms of the faith, if your mother was not Jewish, then you aren't. However, if a Jewish man marries a, you know, Catholic woman, And unless you raise his children with his beliefs, that still, I think those people would still consider themselves Jewish. I mean, a rabbi might not, but I think, you know.
Well, it still depends on how you raise them, but if his dad left his both dad families, so why is Jake Jewish?
I don't know. It's one of those questions that I don't think Glee expects us to think about.
Well,
because when you start thinking about it, the universe explodes.
Well, darn.
Exactly. Do you want the universe to explode, Erica?
No, but I'm going to make you end the call and call back because you sound like you're underwater.
Damn it! Technical difficulties resolved!
Woo! Okay.
Woo! Okay.
So as we were saying...
Put them right back in. Hanukkah, we both liked.
Yay, Hanukkah.
Yay, Hanukkah. Hanukkah, yay. I can't do it. Okay, ow. I think I might have hurt myself. All right, so the next song was Sam singing Jingle Bell Rock to Britney.
I have no recollection of this number. And I rewatched the episode, like, yesterday.
He sings, he has all the Cheerios come in, they're just like reindeer, it's kind of creepy. Kind of remind me of season 2 of Project Runway when Santino had to do lingerie, and he had all of the girls have makeup like reindeer. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Okay. That happens. I swear it did.
All right. Well, I like this song and I like Sam, so I'm sure I enjoyed the number.
It was cute. The reindeer creeped me out.
I really literally rewatched this yesterday and I'm like, I don't remember this happening.
Weird.
Which is scared me.
Yeah, I would worry for yourself, actually.
Yeah.
You need to start pinning notes to your shirt. What? You start what you know you wear brooches, right?
Brooches.
Brooches.
You wear brooches.
Brooches are like they're a hipster form of brooches. I'm trying to market it. Anyway. But no, that's perfect because now they can have a purpose.
I don't wear them yet. This is my goal of 2013 is to start wearing brooches. And we like Sarah a lot. Our good friend Sarah over at Sugar and Vice. We've never actually met her because she lives in England. But Sugar and Vice is her jewelry company. And I just purchased 2 brooches from them. They have really cute stuff and everybody should go look them up. Plug.
I'm going to go do that. Right after we finish recording.
Yes.
Speed Talk in 2 episodes. Okay. So that happened. And then there was Noel by Marley. But we don't have to talk about that. We can move on to Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Now, here's the thing. This is my favorite Christmas song.
Okay.
So what does Glee do to me, Emily and Travia? What did they do to me? They had my least favorite character start singing it.
Of course.
Yeah. Fuck you, Glee. It's not cool.
But this this was at the end in Breadsticks, right?
This was everybody. This was them on stage singing to...
When they sing to Sue. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
And everybody else is watching, Beast is watching and crying, and everybody comes in and sings and all that stuff.
Okay. I remember now.
It got better, but I just really, like, as soon as Marley started singing that, I'm like, oh no, bitch. Oh no, you don't. And she did. And I was mad.
I'm sorry.
Okay. How did you feel about it? You don't remember it, do you?
I don't. I really did watch it, though.
I believe you, kind of.
I think I was just... I think by the end of the show, I was just, like, doing something else at the same time, and it was on in the background, and I stopped
paying attention. You were shopping for brooches.
I was. I probably was.
All right, so high notes?
My favorite moment was just Terry.
And yeah, that made me
really she had a doll and Will was an alcoholic. Like, I want that Glee timeline.
Oh, God, I know, me too. And I like that within that, there was a reference to Emma being married to Coach Tanaka.
Yeah.
Remember Coach Tanaka? I like Coach Tanaka. Poor Coach.
I do.
I liked when Artie first sees Rory, says, Rory, what are you doing here? And talks slowly so I can understand you. That was cute. There was a reference to Christmas in Dollywood.
Who made that?
Kurt did. Kurt and Bert apparently did A Christmas in Dollywood once.
Oh, okay. I want that Glee.
I want that timeline too. So do I. Bert, just in general, just his early, before he said, and I have prostate cancer, his scene with Kurt was just really sweet when they talk about, like, their first Christmas without his mom and all that stuff. It got me because the two of them in a scene together is just automatic goodness. Puck saying that his apartment is filled with IKEA furniture he never figured out how to put together, because I can understand that sentiment. Brittany's when she is kind of going through and saying all the things she wants to say before the end of the world, such as, Tina, your decision to pursue acting is irresponsible. And Joe, you haven't really made much of an impression. I like those moments. And Beast, and then I wrote buzz, but I don't know what that meant. So I'll just say, oh, when Beast is kind of faking that there's another end of the world. And she's like, oh, my cell phone rang. Oh, look, there's another end of the world. I just thought that was cute. Beast was fun. I like her. All that stuff. Do you have any other high notes?
No.
Okay.
Low notes? I can't remember half the episode. How do I have more high notes?
Okay, low notes for me would be Glee's insistence still on not just doing a fantasy episode. And the hilariousness that was, I got to sum up the energy to say it without laughing. Quintexts and drives in every timeline, Artie.
Yeah.
And in this one, she's dead.
Of course.
I'm sure we get that in our feedback of notes on that, so I won't even say anymore.
In other words, we couldn't get Diana of Aragon.
Right, so we just decided to kill her.
Yeah. What else would we do?
Yeah, I had two stray observations. Bryant Park and its fucking figure skaters. I went to Bryant Park this year to the Christmas fair, and I stood there watching people figure skate. And I said figure skate, not ice skate, because it is stocked with ringers, all of whom can do double axles. So fuck that. And then the other thing... it made me think when Puck and Jake are in Hollywood and they're walking around the Hollywood backlots, it just made me think of Roger Ebert has like his little rule of movies. And one of them is the rule of Hollywood backlots, which is whenever a movie is set on a Hollywood backlot. Apparently there is some in Hollywood's version of Hollywood, movies being made today always have showgirls and period pieces and everything else where if you walk around in a Hollywood backlot, like there's always a showgirl and there's like, you see this in Pee Wee's Big Adventure or any movie involving Hollywood backlot.
You do. Just it's look- true.
Yeah, exactly.
But there really
do you have anything else?
There aren't that many movies with showgirls in them. There should
be
more.
No. I would love it if there were more movies with showgirls in them.
Low wise, just the Bert prostate cancer thing, like, and because I'm really done with the show if they're gonna kill off Bert, because that's the only thing they have good right now, and it would just be criminal to kill him off.
It would be cruel. It would be absolutely cruel. Unless they made him come back as an angel, that could be great.
He just sits on Kurt's shoulder.
Like, yes, they do, like, the imposing thing, like, where they just film him really far away.
Yep.
I'd buy that.
I'm sitting on the floor against my bed, and the cat, my ponytail's on top of the bed, and the cat's playing with it, and I just sat up to check the email, and I can't sit up because she has my hair.
Mookie was really eating my hair this week. I don't know why.
Okay.
Okay, I am getting in there.
Right. Email. Feedback. We have two pieces of feedback.
If I can remember the password. So feedback. Okay. Tell me where I start. We do. Okay. I thought we had more. But
yeah, we just have to.
But just because we have to get out of here by 11:30.
Okay, so I'll read Brienne's.
Okay, do you want to start then with Brienne's?
Yeah, sure. Brienne's subject is Feliz Navidad. Happy holidays, people of Gleecast. For the first time of the season, I was actually excited it was Thursday night, and not just because Vampire Diaries was on, which they used their music very well this week, but back to the subject on hand. The return of a Lea Michele number last week, followed by Kurt and then a Clayne moment, had me excited. I won't say I was let down, but it definitely didn't live up to the Gleemus I loved in season 2.
Oh, Artie's magic legs, Gleemus.
Oh. My hopes were high because I saw Kevin McHale walking around in black and white. However, this part wasn't enough for me. I wanted more. It should have been the only storyline, or at least half the episode.
Agreed.
And then on top of it, with his big number being Feliz Navidad, I felt like any other Christmas song would have fit the moment better. He was trying to show that Glee gives us hope and confidence in ourselves, and I don't think Feliz Navidad did it. He should have had Rachel come up and do a holy night for a third time. Because... Biggest highlight was the return of Rory. I loved him on Glee Project and definitely think they didn't use him correctly last year, but that's just my opinion. Because they didn't know what to do with him.
They didn't.
That's the problem. Next story was New York. The limited Rachel was a bummer, but Bert being around is always appreciated. Seriously, Bert can't catch a break. Prostate cancer? Luckily, it is a cancer that is pretty common and easy to cure, so I'm not fretting yet. My uncle just had surgery to remove prostate cancer, and my dad had the procedure done a few years ago. Bert will get through. No, Bert will be the only man ever to die of prostate cancer. That's what will happen, because that's what Glee does.
That is what Glee does.
Brienne continues. White Christmas was quite a tease. They sounded so good and definitely are a fantastic duo, but I was hoping for sparks and Kurt was just not giving it. I understand that he's still not sure and working on it. It's truthful, so I can't hate, but I wanted that big reunion. Blaine possibly going to Niata. I like where this could go. Goodbye, Lima, and hello, New York. Up next, the Puckermans. It was okay, and I like that ultimately it means Puck is back in Ohio permanently. I like that they did a Hanukkah song. It's about time the Jews were represented. Yeah, since
what, one of them sang O Holy Thomas.
Our resident Jew doesn't ever sing Hanukkah songs. Brienne continues, I would like to discover a different Hanukkah song, though. Next year, Glee. I was happy that their moms met and have started a new tradition at Breadsticks. I was trying to be cynical about it, but honestly, my dad loves my dad's girlfriend, so these things can happen.
My mom
loves my dad's girlfriend, yeah.
Either one was confused.
Sorry.
Carry on.
I'm wearing my glasses. Everything looks a little weird.
You're supposed to make things not look weird. I don't think you're wearing the right glasses.
No, because I'm not used to them because I wear my contacts all the time. So sometimes things look funny through my glasses. Like, because I'm just not my eye. Because your eyes take the shape of like your contact lenses. So if you're wearing your contact lenses constantly for a long time, when you take them out, it takes a while for them to readjust to the like to the glasses.
That's creepy.
Yeah, because like if you go to get LASIK, you have to not wear contacts for like 2 weeks before so that your eyes can deform.
That'd be creepy. Weird.
Yeah. Okay. Sam and Britt. Totally makes sense they would have the end of the world story. They really are the dumbest people around, but it works for them. Jingle Bell Rock was fun, and it also was nothing to write home about. I totally enjoyed them telling everyone how they really feel. Seriously, who doesn't dream about having that opportunity? I recently saw the movie Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. I didn't watch it yet. It was super cute, and it made me think about what I would do if the world was going to end. I'm heading to Disney, baby. Maybe my boyfriend would finally marry me. Oh, side note.
Oh.
Brienne is engaged now.
Yeah, we all saw the ring. Congratulations.
Congrats. And I'd eat whatever I want after getting super high.
Yeah.
I was a little shocked when Sam proposed, but you gotta love Beast playing along with them and marrying them. I love the end when they survived and there was the large stack of soda cans. Sue and Marley. Well, sometimes Sue surprises me, but her character is so up and down about being nice that it's not enjoyable anymore.
Yep.
And it was even more ridiculous that Sue cut down some sacred tree and was going to sell it for custom toothpicks. But such is Glee. It was a nice gesture, but what a crazy stretch for a story. Again, you should have just stuck with Artie's tale.
Agreed.
What also bothered me was that they tried to tie all these stories together by saying it was like Love Actually, because in the end, the stories are interwoven. But were they really?
No, they weren't.
They just ended up singing together at the end.
Which they do every episode, no matter what.
And not everyone was there. It should have just been It's a Wonderful Life and left everything else out. Thanks, Glee, for going back to how the rest of the season was going. Enjoy the short hiatus, everyone, and a happy holiday and happy new year.
Thanks, Brienne. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Yay.
Okay, and now we have It's a Wonderful Prostate from the one and only Wayne Kaki. Susie Snowflake and Peppermint Patty. Merry Christmas, or more likely, considering the average gap between an episode of Glee and the corresponding episode of Gleecast, Happy St. Patrick's Day. May the road rise to meet you.
I was originally offended by that, but I take that back now.
Oh, no, it's fine. It could be what, like, happy birthday to me, essentially. Happy Groundhog's Day. This year, Glee opted for a multiple story format, which more or less broke the show down into a series of self-contained vignettes. Of course, an episode like this is going to be hit and miss, but at least it wasn't an extraordinary Merry Christmas 2. Instead of my usual rant, though, this might be an interesting opportunity to take the show apart and see what Glee did well and what it could have and should have done better. Sue's opening monologue. Oh, good, he can recap it for me. I'm sure some Love Actually fans, Emily, everyone...
Yeah.
Answer, exclamation point, are going to be offended by Sue's dismissal of that movie, but consider two things. One, it's Sue. She says shit like that all the time about everything. And two, they named the whole freaking episode after Love Actually, so this clearly is a tribute to the film. Well, that makes it more insulting. Sue's monologue hints that the various storylines are going to be cleverly tied together somehow, but that never really happens, does it? It's an example of Glee settling for first-level shit when they should have tried for some next-level shit. The next-level way would have been to have the stories overlap a little. When one story played out, we'd see the other stories were happening in the background or off to the side somewhere simultaneously. Only at the end, when the characters converged at McKinley, would we understand all of what had happened over the course of that week. Of course, for a show to do that, the writers would have to establish some sort of timeline, which applied to all characters and their various plots. And as we know, time has no meaning on Glee. It expands and contracts in unpredictable and nonsensical ways. I was thinking about how Community might have handled a multiple story arc like this, but maybe Community isn't the best business model to follow. Aww. Anyway, onto the stories themselves, not necessarily covered in order. Yes, exactly. The fact that you had Puck's story happening 10 minutes after Blaine and Kurt's story that had happened a day and a half before. Anyway, Artie's story. All through season 4, I've been praising the work that Kevin McHale has been doing. And I was glad to see him finally get a story of his own this year. I have had some reservations about this plot, though. First, I reject the premise that being in a wheelchair has made Artie a better person, and that he would have been a jerk otherwise. One thing that I've liked about the character is that writers have been careful to establish that being in a wheelchair doesn't necessarily make Artie a saint. He's a nice guy, on balance, but he has his flaws. And I didn't quite buy all the supposed consequences of Artie being able to walk. Rachel, for instance, has been incredibly ambitious all her life, and never would have been the person we see in this fantasy. Had there been no Glee Club, she would have found some other way to shine, some other venue for her talents. I can't even begin to bring myself to comment on the Quinn thing, I figured. The writers might as well have used her as a human piñata. But even if this alternate timeline were not plausible, I was able to rationalize it as being Artie's dream. And come on, pregnant Becky and drunk Will were pretty funny, right? Plus, Kevin McHale did a great job with what he was given. I especially liked the way he played the setup scene right after he'd fallen and was angry, embarrassed, and disoriented. His Feliz Navidad was a charm or two, and led to at least one very funny reaction shot. Did you catch it? Before we leave this plot, let me ask a question. Why is being a librarian always treated as a terrible fate for women in movies and TV shows? Librarians are awesome. It's time to end this insane anti-librarian bigotry in the media.
I agree. I want to be a librarian.
Well, I think in the case of Glee, it was purely a reference to It's a Wonderful Life, because that's in It's a Wonderful Life, that is what happens to the main character's wife. In the alternate timeline, is she becomes a librarian. So I don't know that in the case of Glee, it was meant that librarian is this. I think it was just very specifically referenced to that movie.
Confession, I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life. Moving on, Sam and Brittany's story.
Okay, but I would say I do recommend you see it because it's actually a really good movie.
I know.
Anyway, okay, I'm just saying. Wayne continues, I said that I didn't see much dramatic potential in the Sam Brittany couple, and I don't think Glee does either. I think this is going to be a comedy couple, and this 2012 An apocalypse story was basically a trial balloon for that theory. There is something essential, though, about the show simply ignored at the heart of the plot, and that's Sam's desire to have sex with Brittany. Even if it's only subconsciously, Sam might well be going along with Brittany's belief in the apocalypse simply as a way of getting her to sleep with him. And if he truly did believe that the world was about to end, he'd want to consummate his relationship as quickly as possible. But the issue of sex was never dealt with here. Through an on-screen caption, we are told several days passed while Sam and Britt were seemingly in seclusion somewhere, Brittany's room, I guess, waiting for the apocalypse. But we're not told exactly how they passed the time during those days. I think every single viewer guessed well in advance that the so-called wedding ceremony presided over by Beast would turn out to be null and void. But did anyone buy that Sam, the obsessive Hollywood blockbuster junkie, would not recognize the name Indiana Jones? Come on, Glee. How the hell had Brittany saved up so much money? Someone should have at least asked that question. Meanwhile, there was one musical number in the story, but instead of being It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, which would have been perfect, it was a Cheerios rendition of Jingle Bell Rock. The problem here was that the episode's one big dance number and Heather Morris spent the entire thing sitting in a chair doing reaction shots. All in all, this was a cute little story for Sam and Britt, but there was so much more the show could have done with it. It could have been great, for instance, if Britt had burned a lot of bridges that thinking the world was going to end and had to deal with the consequences when the apocalypse failed to occur. Remember the scene in which Brittany gathered some of her classmates and told them exactly what she thought of them, not out of meanness, but out of sheer honesty? That was awesome. But the show chickened out and cut it short way too soon. We were so close to some next level shit, too. Again, I agree, and it's because they crammed too much in this episode. Continuing, Jake and Puck. Jake started out this season as a brooding bad boy, but that clearly wasn't going anywhere. So now he's I don't know what he is. Nice, I guess. Troubled, but nice. And he's Puck's brother, so here's Puck. And they're having a story together. In LA, on a lot, probably not too far from where the rest of Glee is filmed. I wanted this to be a Gift of the Magi parody. Puck shaves off his mohawk and sells the hair to a merkin manufacturer in order to buy Jake a bell for his razor scooter. But Jake has sold his razor to buy Puck some hair gel for his mohawk. The show, however, went in another direction entirely, one of which involved the two Puckerman brothers singing Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, on a backlot, teaming with extras in various wacky costumes before returning to Lima and having a super awkward dinner at Breadsticks with their respective mothers, both of whom were impregnated by the same man. The show went to the trouble of bringing in Aisha Taylor, one of the coolest humans on the face of the planet, in to play Jake's mother, but they gave her almost nothing to do other than sit in a booth and trade wisecracks about the absentee dad. You know what, though? Aisha friggin' Taylor was on Glee, and that counts as a win in my book. I keep saying Taylor. It's Tyler, isn't it?
Tyler, yeah.
It's Tyler. Kurt, Bert, and Blaine. For most viewers of Glee and all listeners of GleeCast, this was likely the main event of the show. The show, though, apparently valued one particular story over this. We'll get to that later. For now, let's deal with this one. I have the sinking feeling that the writers gave Bert prostate cancer in order to work in yet another PSA in the show. You have to stop doing this, Glee. I know there's a lot of list of illnesses and social problems you want to address, but you can't just use your characters as poster children for every last one of them. Haven't these characters suffered enough? Oh, and has everyone simply forgotten that Bert is a United States congressman now? You know, this is the first week that I completely forgot about that. That fact has not been mentioned once this year, but let's focus on the positive. Did we all enjoy seeing Chris Colfer and Mike O'Malley back together again? I know I did. And Bert brought a certain Mr. Blaine Anderson along with him, leading to what I thought was a very charming musical number on the skating rink. I always like when White Christmas is done slightly uptempo and not so somber and draggy. That's just a personal preference. And there were some positive signs for Klain, too. Maybe it wasn't enough for some of the hardcore Klainiacs out there, but I appreciate the fact that the show is taking some time to rebuild this couple. One more nice thing. Both Rachel and Finn appeared in this episode, separately, thank you, but neither one hogged too much camera time. Thinking back on their awful Christmas story a year ago, this is a good thing indeed. And now, Marley's story. And here, dear listeners, is where the wheels fall off the show. Lee is still pushing way too hard for Marley to be the new center of the show, and her lame-ass plot, as a bald-faced ripoff of the one about Artie and his robot legs from two seasons ago, was allowed to dominate the last quarter of the show. I am convinced that Marley's problem was never an eating disorder. No, it was that she is an extremely unforgivably stupid. $800 will not fix that. No amount of sessions with a specialist can correct that. Worse yet, this terrible plot led to the episode's two worst musical numbers, Marley's Insufferable, The First Noel, which we refuse to talk about, and a shamelessly hokey Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which was staged as if the cast were modeling winter wear for this catalog. Gold, Wayne Kotke, gold. There was a frustrating hint of some next level shit there, as Sue expressed some of the very convincing skepticism about being taken to the auditorium to witness the final performance. But then the show totally wussed out and had Sue actually like the song, which, like, there's no way. No way she would have. One strategy the writers use a lot in The Simpsons is to build up a really sentimental ending and then to undercut it as if the last second were a quickie joke before the end credits. That way you get an ending that's sweet, but not too sweet. But Glee stayed sugary right to the very end. Too bad. So that was Glee, actually. I thought that by and large the episode was enjoyable and well done, but that there were some moments of frustration too. I pretty much hated the last 10 minutes or so, and yet I did not hate the episode. I think there's a very positive sign considering some of the things I've said about Glee season 4. Until next year, m'ladies, Wayne Kotke, who also added a YouTube thing to include in America, if you would, because it has to apply to Puck's story.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Wayne. Overall, I feel like I would have given this episode a C. I think that's probably where I would land on it.
Yeah,
because it had some good things in it, but I just feel like they just missed the boat by stepping away from the most interesting thing they could have done. And then the last 10 minutes were about Marley and her mom, and they were stupid. Because they were stupid.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, but that was a very Glee Christmas actually thing. Do you have any more, or should we close this one out and move on to the next one?
No, I think we're done talking about this one.
All right. Well, if you want to come chat about it, come to our Facebook page.
Yep. If you want to email us about it, it's gleecast@gmail.com. And we'll talk to you in 10 minutes.
Later.
Got on board a westbound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do. All that talk of opportunities, TV breaks and movies rang true. Sure. California. Seems I've often heard tell them how you found me. Give me a break. Give me a break. Seems it never rains in summer.